Hello and welcome. My name is Brent Weaver, and this is the Digital Agency Show, the podcast that goes behind the scenes with today's top agencies and entrepreneurs. I am really glad you're here, and once again, it's time to transform your business mindset. Hey, what's up, agency owner? If you're new here, I've got a free gift for you on how to scale your agency to multiple six and even seven figures and beyond by overcoming your dependency on referrals, doubling your profit per project, and removing yourself from the main bottleneck in your business. All you have to do is text the word FREEDOM to 720-792-8036. Again, that's 720-792-8036. Just text the word FREEDOM and I'll send you the free gift on how to achieve freedom in your agency and life. Hey, what's up, podcast listeners, digital agency owners? Welcome to another episode of the Digital Agency Show. I'm your host, Brent Weaver, and today we're hanging out with Wes McDowell. Wes is a website strategist and very successful YouTuber helping service business owners make the most of their websites for automated client generation. You can find more details about him at wesmcdowell.com and his very thriving YouTube channel. Wes, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, Brent. It's good to reconnect.
I know, man. Like, full disclosure, you're a boot camp grad from like 2014, 2015, something like that?
Probably like 2016 or 16? 17, okay. I want to say, yeah.
Well, welcome back. It's been a few years. You've definitely created a brand and a following and a platform. And I just wanted to, you know, when I reached out to you for this interview, it was just like, man, I just want to understand like how that whole thing came to be, right? Because I think, you know, there's a lot of people that are doing really well on YouTube, or I should say there's a lot of people doing YouTube. There's very few of them that are doing really well on YouTube. And I'd put you into that category of people. What inspired you to kind of go from agency, you know, you having your own business where you're building websites for people to actually becoming a streamer?
Yeah. So, I mean, now I'm not even doing the agency work, but it's been a lot of little baby steps getting from point A to point B where I am now. So I started with my own, you know, graphic design agency in quotes. It was just me as a freelancer, right? Then I moved into web design, and then I found YouGurus and the bootcamp. And that really gave me a lot of the backbone of what I needed to start charging more. And then I started really thinking about how can I find even more people to where I don't have to rely so much on SEO, which is how I was being found. And what I would find with that, even though you guys armed us a lot with all the discovery and all that stuff to really make us kind of stand out from the pack of other design agencies. But what I found was it was still kind of tough. It was an uphill battle every time someone would find me through SEO purposes. And then I'd get on the phone with them. They basically all have their arms crossed, you know, like, sell me on why I should pick you. So I started really making an effort to go on YouTube and just make little, they're pretty short videos in the early days. They're still not that long now, but they were like, I would make like 5-minute videos just laying out specific, you know, answers to questions that everybody had about websites. So I did that, and it was just a long progression. If I kept doing it, and at a certain point, I'd say about a year into that, I started actually getting some good traction. Like my views were up, and I was starting to get business from YouTube, which was like just an eye-opening moment for me. And what I also found was, now that people were finding me from YouTube, they felt like they knew me a little bit at that point. So suddenly their arms weren't crossed anymore when we talk, right? It'd be like, they would actually say things like, I can't believe like I'm actually talking to you, which I was like, I'm not anything special, but great. Like, if you think so. And basically it was a lot less selling from me to them. And they were much more receptive because in their minds, I was already the expert. I didn't have to prove myself on the phone. So that's how it started. Awesome. And that's basically the power of content creation, specifically in like a video or, you know, even podcast format.
You mentioned it took a year to get you traction. What year was your first video? on, is it on your main channel or is it on like some other channel that you like buried?
Oh, it's still there. Yeah. I mean, I could have gotten rid of it, but I like to keep them there just because it's fun to see how bad they were. Cause that's the thing. If you're going to start YouTube, you got to make your peace with the fact that your first 10 to 20 videos are going to be terrible. And that's okay. Cause guess what? No one's watching at that point. So you're very free to be terrible with no one watching.
Because your fear is like, everybody's going to see how terrible I am, right? But the reality is you're like, no, nobody's going to see it.
No one's watching it yet. And so it's like, you can basically get your sea legs and you can get comfortable in a really free space. And yeah, and then if you want to take them down later, you can totally do it. I just think they're kind of funny to have up there, like, just to see the progression of where I am now, based on just my on-camera personality, because you have to amp it up when you're on camera, and as well as just the gear. Like, it was just a really bad camera, really bad lighting. Like, I looked very magenta and just dead behind the eyes, you know? So it's fun to see the before and after. They're staying there.
Just the personal progression. So you know, and I definitely want to get into some of the stuff that you, if you are thinking about creating, I mean, really any kind of video content, whether it's on YouTube or your own website or any kind of social media platforms. You mentioned a couple of things there, which I think are really keys, that you have to amp it up. You have to kind of become more of a character. And I think that that's something that people maybe have some trepidation around, or they think that, oh, if I get kind of out there, like, it'll turn people up. But I think what I'm hearing from you is it's like the opposite. You almost have to kind of lean into some of that stuff.
Yeah. And I'll kind of push back a little bit. It's not about creating a character. It's just about kind of knowing, like, watching yourself. In my experience, and from what other YouTubers have said, the camera almost takes away half your personality. So you have to add more into it to really kind of catch up to zero, if that makes any sense. I've got someone who I know out here in Chicago who also does YouTube, and I had to pull him aside once. Like, I saw him at a bar just socially, and I said, you have such a big personality in person, and you're so reserved in your videos. You need to, like, really bring it, if that makes sense. But it's really not about, like, you know, being loud and crazy and all that on YouTube. That can turn people off. There's a lot of people who just, they're understated, but they still smile. There's like something behind their eyes that's compelling. And that's really all I'm talking about. So don't go nuts if that's not your personality. It's certainly not mine.
Hey, what's up, agency owners? I want to tell you about one of my favorite white label partners, E2M. They can help with all your website design, web development, SEO, and content needs for your client projects. This includes WordPress, WooCommerce, Shopify, BigCommerce, Webflow, Duda, SiteGlide, custom PHP applications, and much more. Have peace of mind when it comes to your outsourcing needs. Let E2M become an extension of your team so you can grow and scale how you want. Check them out today at e2msolutions.com. That's e2msolutions.com. All right, back to our show. So I was looking at your channel. It looked like your first video was around 6 years ago. You said that it took you a year to kind of get some results, which I think is great context for people to be like, oh, I'm going to go post, you know, 10 really polished videos to YouTube, and then, you know, and then all will be well in the world, right? I mean, that's a pretty, you know, you've been doing this a while, so you definitely have a lot to share in terms of experience from along the way. But, you know, so a little bit of traction kind of helped you go, okay, this is, you know, I'm on the right track. But was there like an inflection point where it went from like seeing that there was more opportunity here than just getting some clients?
Yeah. So basically the big turning point for me was when I realized that a lot of the people that are watching you on YouTube, they're kind of DIYers to some degree. Like, there will be some people who would want to hire me from YouTube. Not a lot of people that would want to pay the $10,000, you know, you gurus, it's all about the $10,000 website. I don't know if that's still the focus, but there'd be some people like that. But I realized also that I had to come up with some kind of a DIY solution, which is when I started my course. And I sell that off the back end of YouTube as well. So it's really all about finding the opportunities in all the different price points. So having all done for you services is great, but then you want something that's kind of a tier under that you can sell more to the masses too. And then I have something underneath that even, which is basically just my affiliate sales for web hosting and that kind of thing. So it's the real opportunity is figuring out the different price points and the different things you can offer to all your different types of viewers.
You meant, totally. So, and you mentioned earlier that you kind of phased out the agency business. So you're not even, correct me if I'm wrong, you're not even doing the done for you anymore. It's just course, affiliate, ad revenue, and then any other kind of sponsorship or partnership kind of revenue, but no actual done for you services for these types of businesses anymore?
Right. No done for you, but I do consulting. So like hourly consulting calls, which is more something I'm comfortable with. I just realized at a certain point that it wasn't super a great use of my time to do these longer engagement projects when I was selling, like I was making more with the courses. And it's just what I would have rather made another course than do all those start to finish projects. But just to charge a really healthy hourly rate and do that a few times a week, that was worth it for me.
At what point were you able to make enough money off of the non-done-for-you services where you could make that transition? I assume that was longer than a year before that was able to happen?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, in my mind, especially with the whole COVID, like time doesn't exist anymore. It's very hard for me to even remember like when everything happened. But I want to say my first like real go at YouTube, you mentioned 6 years ago. Yeah, I did a few one-off videos a long time ago, but then I stopped. I started like really doing it in 2018, I think. And I would say it took me about a year to really start getting a good amount of clients from it. Then it was probably another year after that where I got the course going. And then I'm trying to remember like when it was where I actually ditched all the done for you stuff altogether, but got to be a couple of years ago. So
was, and maybe we can use the start of coronavirus as the like, you know, had you ditched the done for you before COVID or was it after COVID? Okay. So sometime between 2019, 2020, you stopped doing the done for you. And I think that's really interesting. Cause if it was 6 years ago on the first video, right, that gets us to like 2016, give or take, you know, and it was like creating some content inconsistent was kind of like a way to potentially get clients. And then, you know, it really started to get more consistent in 2018. And then maybe at 2019, the course came alive. And then at some point, late 2019 or early 2020, right? Like the course kind of became the main thing versus the done for you. And and I think it's, I guess what I'm trying to get at is when people see like people like yourself now, like when somebody just happens upon your channel today, which I think is really common for people to see these creators and streamers and YouTubers, right? Where they've got a huge following. You've got 178,000 subscribers, right? Which is really inspiring, right? But you see this and you're like, oh, wow. Like this person just like woke up one day and they had this thing, you know? And then we try to emulate like who you are today, which I think is like, I don't want to say it's a recipe for failure, but like it's missing that context of that journey of you like figuring out your message and market fit. And like, you know, figuring out what people actually want that are watching you, like that process took years.
Yeah. It's like, what's the saying? Don't compare your start to someone else's like highlight or high point. Right. So you can't do that. I mean, it took a long time of the one thing that I had going for me was I stuck to it. Right. Like I was not seeing these crazy gains right away, but I stuck with it knowing that just seeing the growth I was having and very happy with the growth I was having, even though it was slower in the beginning, you know, it was really exciting to get to like 10,000 subscribers. Because someone, I once heard from somebody that once you get to about 10,000 subscribers, now you've got a good business going where you can start getting clients who are, you know, you can basically make $100,000 a year off of that kind of thing. So it was exciting to get there. And then it just kept going. And then at a certain point,
was there truth to that? Like it was, did that happen for you or was like, oh, 10,000, now I have a platform. Now I got to figure out how to make 100,000 from this.
Yeah, no, I mean, that was pretty much enough to get the number of clients who were, again, willing to they already thought of me as an expert. So they were much more willing to hire me at higher prices. So yeah, I would say that was about accurate.
So the channel became a platform to get clients, right? You still had to mark, you know, sell them and get them into like a thing and offer them. It wasn't like, you know, 100K off of the more passive kind of course type revenue, right?
Oh yeah, no. At first it was all about just getting clients. I hadn't even wrapped my mind around I haven't even thought about the course thing yet. Certainly not ad revenue yet, so.
Yeah. How did you determine, I mean, it sounds like even from the early days, the type of business that you were communicating with is somewhat related to the business. I mean, you were looking for clients, you were talking about building websites to small businesses, right? You weren't kind of talking about the business of web design, right? You weren't publishing to other freelancers or agency owners. You know, what kind of work did you do around your audience targeting? Did it happen organically? Was it intentional?
Yeah. So, I mean, well, the thing is on YouTube, like you can't really target, right? You're creating content that you hope is going to be found by the right people. And whenever you talk about web strategy, like I do, you're inherently going to get a lot of other web pros who are learning that too. I still get that to this day. I welcome it. A lot of them actually buy my course because they want to use what I teach like for their clients. So it's all good. But I was very careful in my language of always talking, and basically I had to pick a lane of what kinds of small businesses am I going to be talking to? I knew right away I don't have a talent for e-commerce, or with a passion, hate creating those kinds of websites because so many things can go wrong. There's sort of like the minutia of a e-commerce website, as you probably know, is just, it's crazy. I was always more comfortable doing the service business website side. So I would always just very clearly in my language and in my examples be talking about service businesses and how they can use their websites, how they can use Facebook ads, YouTube ads, all that kind of stuff to get more business for them. And then, you know, when you just talk about things in a certain way, you're going to attract more of that because they feel like it's for them.
Talk to me a little about your process for coming up with topic ideas. I think you're publishing about what, once a week, weekly on the channel?
Yeah, it's about once a week. The schedule is going to change slightly. We're going to be doing kind of slightly less videos, but we're going in a more like grand direction with them. I would say we're trying to make them a little bit more polished, a little more thoughtful. So, but yeah, right now it's once a week. And the way I think of topics is I get inspired all the time. I listen to a million podcasts all about, you know, everything when it comes to online marketing. So whenever there's an episode I hear that's like, oh, that would be a great thing to talk about, I kind of make a note of it. We've got just a running list in Asana of all the future episodes. And then I also like to do an even mix of things that people are going to search out, like for whatever reason. Facebook ads is what I'm always found for, even though that's not really what I want to be known for. But it's just sometimes you'll find what you want to be known for and what you just people are like coming to you for are two different things, right? So I got to come up with those things that people are searching on YouTube for because YouTube is a search engine, right? It's not really social media. So I have to create things like that. Then I also want to create things that are more curiosity-based, that are just, you may not have known that this is important, but once you see that title and that thumbnail, it creates something in your mind of like, oh, that's interesting. I need to know what that's going to be about. So the searchable content is for the new people. Then the curiosity content is for the people who've already found me. You know, so you got to kind of handle it from both ends.
Yeah, I love the intentionality behind it. What about channel growth? I mean, you know, I know that YouTube is a search engine. You know, you can't just like, it's not like button that's, I mean, if you want to pay for ads, I mean, obviously maybe you've used ads to grow the channel, but what are some things that you found have worked well in terms of actually growing subscribers and growing views?
Oh, I can give you some great little tips. I hired a company called Video Creators. I did like a boot camp with them and learned all these little gold nuggets. The first one is you want to, the main goal on your YouTube channel, if you're trying to grow, is to keep people watching, specifically watching more of your videos if you can, or just keeping watching YouTube in general, if that's all you can do. But so what you want to do is at the end of every video, you want to get them to the next video. So you have to be strategic about, okay, so this video is all about creating a great Facebook ad. Great. What do I want to send them to after this? Well, maybe I have a video about how to actually like input, you know, like the tutorial for how to actually put that Facebook ad into Ads Manager. So maybe that's what I'll send them to next. So you want to do that, and you want to do that with no wrap-up language, right? What you don't want to do is what everybody does, which is, all right, well, hopefully that was helpful. I've taught you all about how to create a great Facebook ad. And, you know, once they hear that, they know it's over. And so they go on to the next video, like just on the sidebar. So what people should do instead is you kind of go through all your tips. And then you say, and the next tip for you is now you need to know how to actually put it in the Ads Manager. And if you click this video right here, I'm going to show you exactly how to do that. So that just, it's a seamless transition. And you also want, and then like every four videos, that's when you can get people back to your website to sign up for your lead magnet or like a webinar or schedule a consultation with you or whatever your call to action is. But you really only want that to be like one out of every four videos. The other three should keep them in the loop of watching more.
Hey, what's up, agency owners? I want to let you know about a hosting platform that is giving digital agencies and creators around the world an edge when it comes to site speed, scalability, and profit. It's called Cloudways, and it's designed to create exceptional experiences for you and your clients that guarantees unmatched performance, reliability, and choice with 24/7 award-winning support. Cloudways is excited to offer our listeners a $50 hosting credit in addition to their amazing benefits of their agency partner program. For more details, head over to yougurus.com/cloudways or use promo code DASCW when signing up. Let's get back to our show. Yeah, I love that new, I mean, such a nuanced thing that I think you would only get by, you know, going through another, you know, a specialist course on YouTube, but just that nuance of what the wrap-up language is. And I think as content creators, you know, you think like, oh, people are going to watch my content there. I used to think that about like email marketing, like everybody like, oh, we can't send that email again. We sent that 6 months ago. People will know.
Yeah, they definitely remember that email from six months ago.
They definitely remember that, right? Like, but like that there's also certain behaviors on platforms, whether it's email, whether it's YouTube, right? And you just identified one of those that's, you know, and I know that when I watch YouTube, right? I mean, that happens all the time, right? Unless I'm learning something and I'm going like backwards and I'm just like rewatching something over and over, you're like, okay, cool. Like I'm good, right? Like this is them just like,
this feels like it's over, I'm out.
Yeah. And, or like whenever I watch my like 7-year-old browse YouTube, I'm like, oh, that's weird, right? Like they just like, it's like ruthless, you know, like they get disinterested for like half a second and they're just like, boom, you know, out next video.
Oh,
next
I'm sure.
which is pretty, you know, well, I mean, it's good to know and be thinking about that. So in the individual, what I'm hearing from you is like, you have to really pay attention to the viewers you're already getting and keeping them interested. And then does that mean that, I mean, obviously that's going to help you grow your view count from those viewers, but does that mean that like you're telling the algorithm that like, you know, hey, I keep people here, you should promote more of my stuff?
Yeah, essentially. I mean, it's people love to talk about the algorithm, but really all that is it's showing to YouTube that, yeah, people like this video. So you got to do all the things that are going to keep them there. Like things like the tags are pretty outdated now. People always want to focus on the checklist stuff. Like if I do this and this and this, I'm going to send signals to the algorithm. It really doesn't work that way. You just have to keep people watching for as long as possible. And you do have the curiosity. You do it with a lot of good B-roll. So keep the shots interesting. Do a lot, you know, you just don't want a talking head for too long. And that's one of the things like we're making a huge push for right now is actually like storyboarding and making these almost feel like little mini documentaries. That's really what's going to keep people more interested in watching, even if they didn't think the topic was interesting to them, because the content is just kind of compelling and you're making a case for why it's important. So all that kind of stuff is really important.
I've seen It's been fun to watch like Noah Kagan's YouTube journey over the last year. I don't know if you followed his channel, but I mean his...
I know that name and I don't know who that is
though. AppSumo founder.
Oh, and, okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, his videos now are getting, you know, millions of views and, but he kind of dropped a lot of money in the last year. I think like 400,000 or something like that, you know, kind of reimagining his YouTube channel and publishing and how that works. And like, I love his videos because they went from like, you know, Noah in his, you know, house or apartment or whatever in the pandemic on his iPhone. And they were interesting. Like he's got, I mean, the dude runs a $70 million a year company, right? Like,
yeah,
it's like, it was like really great content, but now there's like production value, not just the production value, but there's a story, they're in different locations, they're like interviewing. Yeah. It's like every little episode is this like 8 minute, like there was a clear, like there was, you know, a story, like there was a plan for every piece of content, not just an outline, right? And I think that's maybe like YouTube 1.0 is like, hey, we just create some outlines, we kind of go on there as a talking head. But I do think that the audience, it seems like people are shifting to wanting better and better, better and better material to stick around. Which brings me to kind of my last topic area around monetization. So I know we've talked about kind of the done for you type stuff, the course and how that's been working well for you. I think most of our audience understands how people make courses online. They might not understand how much people are making on courses on the back end of a distribution channel like YouTube, but is there, you know, you mentioned affiliate revenue. I mean, and then also the ads, like what if you can just break down percentage, I mean, like where are you kind of getting the most revenue from the channel?
Yeah, sure. So basically the course, actually like half of my revenue is really coming now from the most unexpected source ever, which is YouTube ad revenue itself. I never thought, I resisted monetizing my channel for the longest time because I thought it would be a bad experience for people. And I thought that would make people less likely to watch my videos when there's another video on the same topic with no ad. But then one day I just decided I wanted to do an experiment. So I turned it on for a few of them. I started noticing no change in how many people were watching it. I never got a single comment saying anything negative about it. So at a certain point, we started ramping that up. And then that accounts for a full half of my revenue right now. Then the course is probably about 40. Well, maybe it's like, yeah, I'd say like 40% course, 50%, actually more like 30% course, 20% affiliate sales for Bluehost, and then 50% is YouTube ad revenue.
That's interesting. So you had no ad revenue because it was like a strategic decision. And then you're like, I'll just flip this button out over here. And then like half of your revenue is now coming in from ads. Has that changed how you think about the business's future in terms of, you know, I mean, is there a day where the course isn't necessary?
I actually fear that day. Mm. Here's the thing. Part of me, like I love the ad revenue money and I love the affiliate money, but the part that scares me is I don't control that. Like what if YouTube changed something? What if Bluehost stopped offering what they're offering? I would love it if most of my money was coming from the course, and that's what I'm still trying to build toward, just ramping that up more. But it's like, having said that, I'll take all the money from all the places as much as they want to give it to me, but I want to control my destiny more than that. So it's almost like having a corporate job again and not knowing like what might happen.
Interesting. So just thinking about like having an income stream from a source like, I mean, Google, I mean, I've heard horror stories, right? I mean, within the creator network and stuff that, you know, if people get, you know, demonetized or whatever, I mean, obviously most of that's like highly, I imagine your channel is not very divisive and like, you know, you're not talking about like taboo topics or things like that. But I mean,
design, politics, and religion is all we talk about on my channel.
This is a question from one of our Facebook friends here. How do you measure all of it? Do you have any platform or tools you recommend for data analysis and integration, whether it's Google Data Studio or some other kind of reports? I mean, I know there's the Creator Studio within YouTube that probably gives you a lot of data. Is there anything else that you're using on top of that?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's it. I mean, they keep track of everything for you, from obviously the money you're earning to What are the main things I look at? Like at watch time, it just calculates everything for you. It's pretty robust, and I actually don't understand everything in there, but it shows me the breakdown of like which videos are doing the best, which helps me create more like that. And yeah, that's really all you need when it comes to that. Oh, I actually do. I don't know if this is what you're asking, but I use like vidIQ, which is a plugin, like a browser extension for YouTube. So I can see even more suggestions and I can really see like where I'm falling in the rankings for certain keywords that I'm trying to rank for in videos.
Yeah. Awesome. Thanks for answering our audience question. If you all are listening to this podcast and you're not already part of our Profitable Digital Agencies group, go check that out. Just search Facebook for Profitable Digital Agencies. You'll find my big banner picture of a photo of myself on there. Click on me, join the group, and you'll get early access to these episodes. Wes, you got time to stick around for our lightning round?
I'm terrible at lightning rounds, but I will give it a shot. I got the time.
What is the best advice you've ever received?
I told you I'm terrible at lightning rounds. Best advice. Oh, I mean, for my grandma, always go to bed smarter than when you woke up. Always be learning.
Which of your personal habits has contributed most to your success?
My stubbornness and yeah, just the part where I keep hammering away at something until it's done.
Can you share an internet resource, a tool or app that you think our listeners would find valuable?
Calendly. I mean, I'm sure they already know about that one, but.
Any others?
I'm blanking on it. Sorry.
It's all good. Yeah. How about what book would you recommend and why?
Oh, They Ask, You Answer by Marcus Sheridan. It's a great resource on content marketing that any business can use.
Awesome. We will link out to They Ask, You Answer, as well as Calendly and a couple of the YouTube tools like Video Creators. And I think you mentioned an analytics tool that our team will find a link out to. So if you're looking for that plugin for YouTube, check it out on our show notes, yougurus.com/podcast. And we'll have some nuggets, key takeaways from today's episode on there. Wes, how can folks learn more about you? Is there anything that you have that they can check out?
Yeah. So I think the best thing to do is just check out my YouTube channel, Wes McDowell. Or if you want my free masterclass on how to, you know, create a profitable client generation website, just go to wesmcdowell.com/training. But you guys are web pros. You probably know a thing or two about that already. YouTube channel.
Awesome, man. We'll link out to the wesmcdowell.com/training for that free masterclass. We'll also link out to your YouTube channel. That'll be featured on that show notes page, as well as any other social media channels we dig up. And we'll also do a quick link out to your very first video so people have some context of where you started on YouTube, man. So check that out, yougurus.com/podcast. Wes, dude, thank you for stopping by the program, man. It's been great to reconnect.
Yeah, absolutely, Brent. Thanks for reaching out. I appreciate it.
And that's it for this week's episode of the Digital Agency Show. Stay tuned each and every week for more great content coming to you to help you grow your digital agency so you can achieve freedom in business and life. Until next time, I'm Brent Weaver.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode. And remember, if you want this free gift all about how to scale to 6 and 7 figures and beyond in your agency, just text the word freedom to 720-792-8036. That's the word freedom to 720-792-8036. Until next time, I'm Brent Weaver.